You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
In his own words. Good Friday morning to you. You know what we is, without a doubt. So good Friday morning. It's not really Good Friday, but Good Friday morning. The difference in intonation makes it have a different meaning. Right, we all know what Good Friday is. This is not Good Friday, just for the record. I don't want anybody to like lose their mind. What? I'm considerate like that. What's going on today? Well, as we speak, the Senate Judiciary Committee is continuing to cover itself in glory as it makes us all proud of our political system and the way our political system operates. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, you watch our political institutions in motion, and it warms your heart, makes you proud to be an American. And, it's just incredible. Just incredible. I talked about my friend who says that people who bitch about the system don't get it. And I sent him an email. So, I guess the question I have bombing in my head is that what changed in the world of the American political landscape? And what changed? Where, and again, not just partisanship, okay, but sequestration rules the day, right? Not passing a budget. That, how many years? 9 years of that? That was, maybe not nine. How many years since we had a budget? I should know that. Sequestration was designed to be an option that would never, ever, ever be utilized. It was a coercive act saying that, well, this is the kind of Armageddon. We won't, this will scare people into passing a budget and doing the right thing and blah, 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 blah. And guess what? Guess what? they went there. So what spawns that? How did our landscape change like that to where, you know, yesterday you see the spectacle? Okay. And I would offer, what happens if she's mistaken? She says she's 100% sure, but there's nobody that corroborates it. So let's just say something happened to her. What happens if she's mistaken? And again, this national theater is wrapped in about 7 different issues, right? One is the burn it down political landscape. 2 is a fight over whose ideology will run the Supreme Court, which is a pretty big fight. 3, which focuses us on the last election. 3, the Me Too thing. Is it a mere allegation that derails somebody's life? And what's the line between having respect for somebody who comes forward and the rule of law that says we're a nation where you're innocent till proven guilty? Where is that line? Hard questions. And then you see it play out as it does on TV, which is kind of, if I said it's kind of gross, it would be an understatement. It's extremely gross. So, but what happened? Where did this go off the rails? Or is it, like I was talking yesterday, has it always been like this? This is it? This is our system. Pretty gross, if you ask me. Pretty gross. I enjoyed Lindsey Graham yesterday. Don't always agree with things he said, but I certainly did yesterday. So what happens if, you know, he's a former lawyer, prosecutor guy. So he said, hey, here's how this thing goes. Somebody makes an allegation, right? Somebody denies it. The next requirement is for evidence. If there is none, if you can't corroborate it in this country, you're innocent till proven guilty. What other standard is there in America? So, but again, when we talk about politics, all those standards are thrown away. The only thing that matters is that we win the point on this particular issue, and we'll burn it down to do that. So what created that? And here's what I would contend to you. I know as a senator today, okay, I know that I have my own television network. My party has its own television network on either side that will provide me top cover. And so I will be able to speak to my constituents on that news. Okay. So we have our own news organization, which speaks to millions of people. So, the way our media has changed has given a platform to politicians that I don't think they had years ago when you had 3 networks covering the news. They brought the news to the nation. Their demographics were diverse. So they had to chart a middle course. You couldn't have an extreme point of view beyond the news. You would get backhanded, right? Or you would not get covered or whatnot. So I would submit to you that what has changed and what has spawned our political discourse moving to the edges of the bell curve is each party now has its own news organization. They reach their bases through those news organizations. They don't have to be worried about getting left out of no man's land because I know I'm going to get covered and my message to my base. So I don't need to play down the middle to the vast majority of Americans that will watch this. I think that's what spawned this. or at least that's a piece of it. The social media piece, I think that just adds acid to the fire. Yeah, so anyway, I was thinking about that last night. So what's changed that we would get this? The thing I loved about Lindsey Graham was that he was pissed, and normally they don't go there, right? My colleagues in the minority, blah, 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 blah. There's nothing in Brett Kavanaugh's life that suggests that he would do that, what he's accused of. And so that's what takes us to the Me Too moment, right? So, should she be excoriated? Should she be drugged through the street? The answer to that is no. Could she be mistaken? The answer to that is yes. There is no corroborating evidence. So, what do we do in a nation of laws? So, anyway, it's certainly an interesting spectacle that goes on in Washington, D.C. It continues this morning. Evidently, some members of the Senate Judiciary Committee walked out of the hearing. You know, congratulations to them. Continue to cover yourself in glory. And so it goes. That was in my head. The other thing that was in my head that I went to bed with last night was I was working on the gospel. I was working on the presentation of the gospel of post-traumatic winning, which is pretty motivational, right? So going to turn it first. It'll turn into a present. It's turning into a presentation as we speak. So hanging the meat on the class. And as I said a week ago, the hardest thing is narrowing down. You have so much content, and how do you present it so that you reach into somebody's chest cavity, squeeze their heart, right? Move it a little bit, and then let it go. How do you do that? Who's involved in it and whatnot? So that's kind of coming together. Also, simultaneously, outline for the book is done. So I'm having conversations with people that have had books published. What excites me about the book is that it's meant for everybody. It's not a military kind of thing. It's a trauma kind of thing. Who's affected by trauma? Everybody, right? Or everybody knows somebody affected by trauma. So to me, that's exciting. And it talks the basic truths that we know because we've lived them. And so I was going through that last night. So that was in my head. It's pretty exciting. For me, personally, to be doing that, because it's grown out of this conversation that we have here on a daily basis, Monday through Friday, from 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock Pacific time, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. So I've talked to a couple people, and they're like, "Holy shit, man. That sounds like a great book. How long's the book going to be?" I don't want it to be too long. At the most, a couple hundred pages. I want it to be blunt. I want it to be simple. Yeah, I want it to be straightforward. Okay, because that tends to be the way the show is. You're not getting over it. What did you say? Do you want me to say it again? Please, would you? You're not getting over it. Then roll the audio, Jeremiah Workman. You'll get over PTSD when they slam the lid on your casket. Right? Which, you know, actually, I'll link this discussion to something I thought of last night. How do you not remember that which is seared into your brain? I'm not sure I understand that. Because I can tell you the traumatic events that have happened to me, right? I can tell you in high definition what happened. Starting with my parents' divorce and them never speaking again. You want to talk about that? I can talk about that. You want to talk about a lieutenant walking in front of a machine gun when I was a student at IOC, we can talk about that. I could tell you in high definition, looking down the barrel of a machine gun on its bipod, and the lieutenant that went back to get the tripod placing the tripod as the gun sighted in, the gunners leaned into it, right? Because that's how you take the slack out of a bipod. For those non-machine gunner types listening, you have a bipod. If you don't lean on the weapon, right, you don't put pressure on the bipod legs and dig them into the ground, the gun moves around too much. When the gun moves, the strike of the round moves, which makes the beaten zone bigger. We like small beaten zones in the Marine Corps. That's right. That's the way we do it. Small cones of fire. Effective. That's right. So anyway, right, I'm the team leader, and I'm sighting, right? So my head's right next to his, looking down the barrel. He's going to, as I make corrections, he's going to put them on the T&E, which are the two little wheels, right? And we're going to get, well, actually, there was none. Now, because it wasn't on the tripod. So that's theoretically the way it goes. But since it was on the bipod, I'm going to tell him left, right, up, down. Okay? So anyway, as that's happening, yeah, I can tell to you in high definition. I see something moving into my sight from like 2 o'clock, and it's another lieutenant who's throwing the tripod in front of the weapon so we can put it on the weapon. And I yell no as the machine gunner pulls the trigger. He shoots 3 rounds before his finger gets off the trigger. The rounds hit the tripod, and then they hit the lieutenant in the hand. I'm sure I had a class on my first aid kit. I didn't know what was in that damn thing. When I jumped up, he spun in the air. The force of the round spun him, put him into the air, and I remember thinking, please God, you know, don't have hit him. And then when he finished the rotation, his hand, you could see it was hamburgers, bloody mess. And, you know, I jumped up, I grabbed him by the flak jacket, you know, and I put him on the ground, and I pulled out my first aid kit. He was screaming, he was yelling at me, opened my flak jacket. I thought he might have been hit in the chest. I opened his flak jacket. And nobody else came to help. I don't, like, there was other guys around, but nobody else came. He pulls out, a medal to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and he starts saying it, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, right? And I grab a pressure dressing out of my first aid kit, and I grab his hand, I clamp it on his hand, and he screams, right? So it's not exactly your Sands of Iwo Jima moment, right, where John Wayne tips over and we take the letter out of, you know, it's not pleasant, right? But I could tell you that in high definition. So I don't rightly understand if when you're traumatized, you know, you don't know. I don't, you know, we can go on to the helicopter crash. I can tell you that in high definition. And then a whole series of other traumatic events. So I just is kind of linking this discussion to that discussion. I don't know how you don't know. Most people can't forget. Maybe the brain plays funny tricks on you and it tries to block it out, but most people it doesn't work for. Right? That's why they wind up in therapy. I'm trying to block it. I'm trying to hit mute. I'm trying to hit stop, but it doesn't silence itself. It doesn't stop. How do I deal with it? So anyway, but I will say this, pretty exciting to be hanging meat on that and getting to the end, towards the end of the development of the post-traumatic winning presentation. Yeah. And the book is nothing more than a compilation of the things that we discuss here. The gospel itself And then the way you learn to coexist, right? Actually, it's the gospel of All Marine Radio, and then the mental health path of a warrior. It's those two modules put together. That's the program. It's just pretty exciting. And the best part of it is the Grinch moments, right? As I think everybody who listens knows, and the thing I love is I get now emails, and I share most of them with everybody, but I get some that I don't. I never thought, that this stuff would kind of happen to me. I listen to your show, I enjoy it, but I've been inspired by what I've heard. And I reached out to somebody who I know lives with trauma and mentioned the things that I've heard on All Marine Radio, which I know are simply truths, because I've walked that path. And so it's those Grinch moments, man. They're awesome. I love those. Yeah. Be the Grinch. All Marine Radio, be the Grinch. So yeah, it's cool as fuck. Yeah. And I love it. And so, and you're making a difference. You're easing people's pain. You're helping them, do the first thing, which is learn to coexist with their trauma. It ain't leaving. You got to learn how to live with it. And so, I love that. So even I was thinking about that as I was digesting those hearings, the clips that I saw of them, and how do you not know? So anyway. But I'm sure there'll be experts that come on and say, oh, this is how you don't know. This is how you don't know. This is how you don't know the date. This is how you don't know the location. Come on, man. I think that's bullshit. One man's opinion. And I'm not bashing on her. I would think that, like most people said, something happened to her, but I don't know that he was a part of it. He certainly vehemently stated his case. But again, it's the way that our elected leaders, in particular Dianne Feinstein, you want a case for 84-year-old people not being in the United States Senate, having age limits? Yeah, you're 84, you can barely get dressed. What's my name again? And I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but come on, man, it's a joke. You begin to lose it at about what age? I don't know, 50, 60, 70, 80? Hello? Right? We're going to get to the point where we're reeling Strom Thurmond in again. We got the string tied to his finger. Right? He's on a gurney, passed out. Somebody raised the string. There you have it. Senator Thurmond votes aye on the bill. All right, take him out. See you later. Anyway, all right, the chef's going to join me today. And we have a new sponsor, which is exciting. You're going to hear the McGarry Mortgage Minute, which is really not going to be a minute, but it'll be longer than that. Tim McGarry, he does real estate finance. But what he likes to talk about is helping homeowners understand the process, answering questions. So we'll start doing that for probably 10, 15 minutes a week. Start talking mortgages. And not just mortgages, but housing-related stuff. So next week you'll hear us talk about, in the wake of Hurricane Florence, major catastrophic insurance, flood insurance, tornado insurance, earthquake insurance. What's the other one? I thought there was four of them. Flood, tornado, hurricane, earthquake. There is four. So those four, are they all the same? And they're not, right? What is prudent for you as a homeowner? What is not? So he'll make you smart about that stuff. So, So he's a good dude. You'll enjoy meeting him. And happy to have him. So, Whitney Houston makes Friday officially Friday. Hope you're having a good weekend. My Strom Thurmond impersonation is kind of it's a mix between Foghorn Leghorn. I say, boy. Yeah. Do you remember that, though? It was awful. Right? He was like Skeletor. And he's still like, can we get his suit on him? Right? Is he gonna start singing Mammy or doing something crazy in the midst of this? Right? He clearly doesn't know who he is. Right? And so, yeah, Senator Feinstein. She gets this letter in the summer. If it's about the truth, give it to the committee. Let them do their thing. But it's not about the truth, Mac. Come on. What, are you going to recite the Boy Scout Pledge of Allegiance? No, whatever they call that thing they do. Right? It's not the Pledge. There's only one Pledge of Allegiance, by the way. I'm not sure what the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts oath? Their oath of office? I think that's what it is. Their motto? I don't know what it is. I was never a Boy Scout. My dad was, wasn't home when they had the father-son meeting to do Boy Scouts. And I sure as hell wasn't going with my mom, that's for sure. Yeah. Update on Imperial County. The sun's coming up. There's not a cloud in the sky. Actually, there's a couple whispers of clouds out in Imperial County in Southern California. The land of nothing except big farming. Yeah. And close to the border, though, so if you want some shit going on, head to Imperial County. So, weather update from there. Looks good. And the dashboard that I'm looking at is looks like it just got armor all, so well done on that. So the chef's going to join us. We'll do news. Just a bunch. You know what? Listen to this. Let me tease you. I'll give some teasers on the news. Paul Tibbetts. Air Force guy, dropped the first atomic bomb. His grandson, Paul Tibbetts IV, Brigadier General, United States Air Force, was forced to retire after misconduct claims. Another one? Here's another one. Top enlisted advisor, Sergeant Major Troxell, United States Army, senior enlisted advisor to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is under investigation for alleged misconduct. He has been suspended from his job. Now, is that simply a sign of the times when when people can levy allegations and they're now addressed and he hasn't done anything wrong? Or is he going to be another very senior officer or enlisted person in the United States military that is forced to resign? Then we're going to talk about some articles in the Marine Corps Times. F-35 flew its first combat mission in Afghanistan. Booyah. So, with all of that said, good morning to you. It just turned 7:30. I just saw my clock switch. That's all I know. And the time brought to you by nobody. Imperial County. That's who's bringing you the time this morning. And Armorall. You know who should sponsor this show? This is no shitter. And if anybody knows anybody connected to this program, please let me know. Not this company. But 5-Hour Energy ought to sponsor this program. I could give them a ringing endorsement as a user of their product in a pretty stressful environment on a consistent basis. It's a quality product. That's all I'll say. I'll hold my endorsement for after the time that I get paid. So if anybody has an in with 5-Hour Energy drinks, let me know. They owe me. So, yeah, they could use me, trust me. Whitney Houston, motivated version of the national anthem. Good morning to you. Crank It Up, Man. Crushes that. This is dedicated to the gospel of post-traumatic winter. A bright, shining light in an otherwise dark, gloomy world of this week. So, this is dedicated to post-traumatic winning.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident. Derek, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. You know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran and you came home and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time to check the weather. Imperial County. It's going to be a beautiful day down there. It's going to be in the upper 80s. Yeah. There you have it. Yeah, shout out to Imperial County, the IC. Some serious stuff goes on in Imperial County, just so you know. Yeah. Indio, legit. California's got some rough places. The farm towns? Man, you better have it together. Fresno, Bakersfield, Visalia. all the way up to Sacramento, known as Sactown in California love. Yeah, anyway, all right. Cloudy in 65 right now in Quantico, so Quantico crashes through the 70-degree mark as October starts Monday. How about that? Camp Lejeune, clouds in 80 degrees right now. Granbury, Texas, clouds in 66, everybody cooling off. Montana, listen to this one, clouds in 37 degrees in Big Timber, Montana. 29 Palms, sunny in 74, Pendleton. Clouds in 63. Pendleton's got a weather warning. What the hell is that? Well, let me get to the bottom of that. Beach hazard statement. What? And a local pollen alert. All right. Yeah, pretty crazy. Okinawa. Raining. 79 degrees. They have four weather alerts. Now, normally they'll have three. So the fact that they have four, what does that mean? Max got to investigate the weather alerts on Okinawa. All right. High wave warning, a windstorm warning, heavy rainfall advisory, and a thunderstorm advisory. So what does that look like? Looks like kind of a tropical storm, but not yet. It doesn't meet the threshold, so a baby tropical storm. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, in the central part of it, it is 80 degrees. Oh, that's a beautiful night. Yeah, 80 degrees, brisk under clear skies in the Helmand province of Afghanistan, in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of beautiful Southern California. It is cloudy in 66. Looking for a high today of 76 degrees. That's right, 75 tomorrow and 77 on Sunday. So, don't touch that dial. We'll take a quick break. You'll get to meet Tim McGarry in the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Don't touch that dial. We'll check the news next. Misconduct, man. What's up with the misconduct? So we'll look into it, and not people that aren't prominent. Like, what the hell's going on?
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Winning. So I got a text from Peyton. She's in Florida at some event, and there were. And her text said, you know, one of the worst things that happens when you lose somebody to suicide is that everybody's afraid to talk about it. They don't want to hurt your feelings. So what happens? They don't talk about that person. And so you lose that person out of your life. No bueno, right? And I liken it to walking up to somebody and saying, that has prosthetic limbs, and saying, hey, where'd you get that? Oh, I got it at the VA. No. Where did it happen? Where did it happen? So then they say, oh, I was in Afghanistan. What province? And so you all of a sudden you have a conversation about, you know, what you have in common and when you were there, when they were there, how did it happen, right? So it does sound awkward. Where'd you get those, right? And my daughters just go, Dad, you can't, how can you do that? I'm like, it doesn't matter to us. We don't give a shit. How many fingers, legs, toes, how much their brain is gone. They belong to us, always and forever. And we'll do anything for them. So, it's just a conversation starter. I could have said, what'd you have for breakfast this morning? but I didn't. I said, where'd you get those prosthetic devices? Yeah, otherwise how would I know? Just standing around looking like somebody else. So anyway, so here's a suggestion for you. And we'll get Peyton on to talk about this again. You know, give us some advice. Before I ask them, should I ask them, do you want to talk about it? If you know, if for instance, if the exchange is, oh, you know, and the subject of for her dad comes up. And then she says, well, my father committed suicide. And you say, so what's the appropriate response? Oh, I'm so sorry for your loss. Or do you care to talk about it? Do you want to talk about him? So what do? We could be trained. That's the whole point of, you know, post-traumatic winning. We can be trained to handle that. Right? Imagine this. Imagine if in post-traumatic winning, you made people sensitive to the things that are going to trigger this stuff. Winning. There you have it. Imagine if you just made them sensitive to the fact that the great triggers of downward spiral are three. Okay? Pretty interesting, I think. One, finances. You spiral out of control financially, and you're not in charge of your own life, and that will spin you. Relationships. Okay? Relationships that go bad. So how do we make relationships not go bad? Well, we learn to work at it. We're not afraid to go to couples therapy or whatever. We're not afraid to do those things. Okay? Is that everybody's start point? Probably not. Imagine if you just made people smart about that. And then here's another one. The dislocation of leaving the military, of people you're really close with, and them leaving your life, and you're on your own, and you don't maintain that connection, that is the biggest, I would tell you that it's way bigger than what people see in any conflict they would ever participate in terms of going down a road that leads them to a dark place. Dislocation and isolation. It's kind of a sequential event. Dislocation first, followed up by isolation. Mac, are we ever going to get to the news, or are you going to run your suck the whole time? I am, we'll get to the news. I'm just saying. All right, news, here you go. You wanted the news, you're going to get it. F-35 flies its first combat mission in Afghanistan, or the Marine Corps F-35 did. U.S. F-35 Bravo Joint Strike Fighter successfully conducted its first combat mission over Afghanistan, according to U.S. military officials. The strikes carried out by F-35 Bravos assigned to the 13th MU occurred Thursday morning against a fixed target in support of ground clearance operations, were deemed a success by the ground force commander, according to a statement put out by U.S. Naval Forces Central Command. Marine Fighter Attack Squadron 211 made history early this month when they became the first squadron with F-35Bs to deploy to the U.S. Central Command Area of Operations aboard the WASP-class amphibious ship, the USS Essex. So anyway, good luck, boys and girls. All right, don't screw it up. So that's news today. Next story in Marineland. Non-grunts experiments focus on you next in the next phase of Sea Dragon. So Sea Dragon was my youngest was a part of it. 3-5 was a part of it. So it was Marine Corps of the Future stuff. So the Modern Marine Expo is going on now. So you're seeing all these kind of futuristic stories about the Marine Corps, right? Most of them will never come to fruition, but it makes for good discussion. The first wave of Marine Corps Sea Dragon experiments tackled how to make combat arms more tech-centric and lethal. The next presents even more complicated challenges. As they roll through the second wave, focused mostly on keeping those warfighters supplied and protected, the Marines in upcoming exercises will have two major challenges: running rugged, isolated, expeditionary advanced bases, and pushing new technology and concepts against an adaptive fighting foe. Oh, and don't forget, the urban setting, which is increasingly likely. So, Sea Dragon, coming to a theater near you. In this phase, support MOSs, support operations, right? Can you do it in an expeditionary environment? Can you be more lethal? Can it do all the things that it's supposed to do in a lighter footprint that's more technologically savvy? Good question. Another article. Here's how the Marine Corps could shave about 6 pounds off your body armor. Okay. On Thursday, the Marine Corps held an industry day with 16 companies vying to produce the Marine Corps' latest body armor. The goal is to reduce battlefield fatigue and provide commanders with flexibility on the type of armor protection they decide to carry into combat, according to Keith Pierce, armor team lead for infantry combat equipment at MARFOR Systems Command. While current Enhanced Small Arms Protective, or ESAPI as it's known, has been highly effective in saving lives on the battlefield, they weigh nearly a combined 15 pounds. Whoa. But don't expect ESAPI to disappear yet. 15 pounds is all those two plates weigh? On the ESAPI? That's pretty impressive. I don't know that I've seen the ESAPI. I knew SAPI. SAPI was a lot heavier than 15 pounds, I can tell you that. The new plates are being crafted for low-intensity threat environments like the counterinsurgency-style wars that have embroiled American forces for nearly 20 years. So tell me what they're going to stop. That's what I want to know. The materials for plates haven't made a big technological leap. A lot of people are trying to find the next leap. The Army recently fielded a new plate, but its relativity to the same construction as the ESAPI, according to Pierce. So, we're not looking for an incremental change. We're looking for a F-35 version, right? A transformational piece of body armor. Mac, are you talking about Iron Man? Yeah, I'm talking about Iron Man. Be Iron Man. Okay, top 5 stories in Early Bird, and then we get the chef on here. Number 1, Marine Corps F-35 flies first combat mission in Afghanistan. Boom! Is that the first combat mission for any F-35? Number 2, top enlisted advisor Troxel suspended under investigation for alleged misconduct. 3 is a story that we talked about yesterday about mission creep in Syria, pivoting towards Iran, right? Away from ISIS, towards Iran. Number 4, Air Force awards a $9 billion contract to Boeing for the next training jet. Not very exciting. And number 5, one-star general and Enola Gay pilot's grandson. Enola Gay is the aircraft that dropped the first atomic bomb over Hiroshima, or Hiroshima, depending on how you pronounce that. Forced to retire after misconduct claim. Okay, so Troxel, right? Guy's supposed to be above reproach. Army Command Sergeant Major John Wayne Troxel, the top enlisted advisor to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, has been suspended from his position following allegations of misconduct, the Pentagon announced Thursday. Troxel is the subject of a complaint now under investigation by the Army Inspector General. The Joint Staff confirmed in a statement Troxel has been removed from his duties, did not accompany General Dunford on his trip to Europe, a U.S. official said, on the condition of anonymity. Anyway, no further comment. General Tibbetts. Brigadier General Paul Tibbetts IV, Deputy Commander for Air Force Global Strike Command, will be forced to retire after an investigation substantiated several accusations of misconduct during his previous command. Tibbetts will also not receive his promotion to Major General. That will screw up your retirement. Air Force IG substantiated allegations that Tibbetts had made inappropriate comments about women on two occasions, failed to properly report suicide attempts through his chain of command on four occasions, violated policy on the use of a government vehicle, failed to report the value of an autographed photograph given to him by celebrities. Tibbetts will enter terminal leave on October 19th. He will retire as a brigadier general on December 1st. He's an Air Force Academy graduate, so he knows better, the grandson of Brigadier General Paul Tibbetts, Jr., who piloted the Enola Gay. So, there you have that. Again, it's surprising. China criticizes U.S. B-52 bomber missions as provocative. The Chinese can stick it up their ass. That's what I say to that. Oh, really? You don't like it? Are B-52s flying in international airspace? What's next? You're going to close down the airspace and say that belongs to you too? Let us know. Headline, China declares every Chinese laundry in the United States now belongs to them. U.S. provocative in bringing their clothes into the dry cleaning facilities. Film at 11. Yeah. China's bullshit. We'll probably talk about this in the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Company agrees to pay $750,000 to settle allegations of illegal foreclosures on service members. And what are the odds of that company ever paying that and those service members ever collecting that? Let me tell you about that, sports fans. Those odds are not very good. Now, everybody knows my favorite part of the early bird is the commentary and analysis section at the bottom. Federal Times, interesting article, headline, can politics be put aside for a successful government reorganization? Answer to that is no. Okay. The Atlantic has an interesting article, The Myth of Authoritarian Competence. Turkey under President Recep Erdogan, they screw up his name, there's a question mark in the middle of his name, has been at the leading edge of a global trend. Just as a wave of democratization swept the planet beginning in the mid-70s, overturning dictatorships from Portugal to South Korea and eventually the Soviet Empire, the last 15 years have witnessed a rising tide of strongmen worldwide. So the headline, The Myth of Authoritarian Competence. Democratization. I would have to practice that word to say it on a regular basis. Should American military bases be named after Confederate officers? Okay, now, I have this to say about that. The short answer to that is no. No. I am not a fan of whitewashing American history. Okay? So, what I constantly advocate for is, instead of pulling the statue down, you build another monument next to it, and you tell the rest of the story. Now, the monuments initially after the Civil War were not going to be allowed. The North was not going to let the South put up monuments. They were defeated. It was their actions that caused the most deadly war in American history. And the North was in no mood to have that shit go on. But as the nation sought to bind its wounds, right? To heal its wounds and bind itself back together, there were concessions made. Whoa, should we teach that? Well, is it true? Well, yes. Okay. That's why those exist. They existed as a compromise to heal the nation. Oh, fuck. I didn't really think about that. All I see it as is as a racist symbol. It was a little bit more complex in a democracy there, sports fan. Well, shit, when did history have all these different subtle angles and shit? Oh, it always has. You just live with your head up your ass. Okay. Oh, so what we're going to do is we're going to tell the story of slavery in our county and then in our state at this display adjoining it. And so we're going to tell the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. Stand by for news. Yeah, my station used to run that when he was still alive. And then his son tried to do it. Wasn't as good. Paul Harvey, though, an institution in the heartland of the country. And he would always have some story about a grandma or a dog or a family or something. And he made a ton of money doing it. Anyway, yeah. So that's my going in position. However, comma, for active military bases, were I a black soldier and I had to go to work on a U.S. Army fort named for a general that fought for the Confederacy, I would not be good with that. Okay, so retire the name. Right? Build the kiosk about who this was, why it was named, how this happened, right? And then tell the story of slavery in the county, in the state, and why we evolved it, right? Why we evolved it. How about this? Fort Winters, named after Dick Winters. I'm for that. Change Fort Bragg today to Fort Winters. Okay? And let me tell you, it's all the major bases in the South. Fort Pickett, Fort A.P. Hill, Fort Bragg, Fort Benning, all Confederate generals. Okay? So, you don't whitewash it, you don't erase it, you rename the base. You create the museum piece. You talk about why the base was named that, but I don't think that's appropriate. I don't think that's appropriate that active duty bases be named like that. So anyway, that's in the Virginia Commonwealth University publication. Anyway. Interesting article in Defense One. In cyberspace, governments don't know how to count. NATO governments can't agree on what constitutes a cyber attack, and that's a big problem. Okay, we need to tell them what constitutes a cyber attack. And then we'll get it right. Okay? Then we'll get it right. Somebody just sent me an email. So on and off yesterday, I watched those hearings. Once you get over the nauseating way that senators conduct themselves, you're left with a couple of things. The threshold for taking someone down involves an accusation. As unpleasant as it is, that's where we're at today. And that should change. My problem is that if you advocate this, somehow or other, you seem to have been pushed into a place where you're opposed to women who come out and make accusations. I'm certainly not. But you have to be able to prove it. I'll link this to a DOD issue I heard on your program one of the lawyers say that if there is a special wing of prosecutors for sexual assault, the number of cases will go down substantially because commanders will consider cases that people that are legal people would never consider, all based on the ability to prove evidence. At the end of the day, you still have to prove it. Does that mean that it didn't happen? It doesn't. But there is still a scale of justice in our country. You are considered innocent until proven guilty. And this is the uncomfortable truth. One of the females in my immediate family was sexually assaulted. I'm not for that. But believing in the scale of justice and a threshold of evidence to prove it doesn't make you against women, but that's where I feel you're pushed if you're advocate for that. Not easy stuff. Yesterday was extremely embarrassing for the entire nation because the truth, as you say, Mac, isn't the object. It's political power. That's what makes it so disgusting. I have one comment to make about Senator Feinstein. She should quietly go away. Her conduct throughout all this, the conduct of her office throughout all of this in leaking that letter, is absolutely unethical, immoral, and disgusting. We'll take a break. The chef joins us. Mr. Scrambled Eggs himself joins us next on a Friday. Don't touch that dial.